microbrew beers and ales, and online shopping. Learn more about online shopping at foodtown.com/shopping. WIOX is supported by Margaretville Hospital, a member of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network, a critical access hospital offering comprehensive medical services, including emergency, cardiology, imaging, rehab, and a retail pharmacy. 845-586-1800.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Hat, host of The Tunnel. Tuesday afternoon from 4 to 6 on WIOX Roxbury, serving New York's Catskill region at 91.3 FM, WIOXradio.org, and MTC Cable Channel 20.
Okay, you're listening to WIOX Radio, live and local, in the Catskill Mountains at 91.3 FM and on MTC Cable TV, Channel 20, everywhere at WIOXradio.org, where it's easy to donate if you like what you hear. You can, and on any smart device with the TuneIn FM radio apps or other radio. Have you used that yet, John?
No.
Okay.
I have not.
All right. So how's it going, John?
Things are good. The weather changed, and it's pleasant to be outside working.
Yeah, I probably should say that this is From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 with Ryan and John. Yeah? What have you been up to?
Still just going for hikes in the woods whenever I can. Finally, you know, that desire has been building up, and you just don't feel like going for, you know, longer walks in the woods. At least I don't. When it's so hot and muggy and humid. Yeah. And it's been building up for months, and now I'm going out every chance I get.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, went camping last weekend. Took the family there. The when you're below 2,000 feet or so, well, I guess Margaville's below 2,000 feet. But on this side, the east side of the high mount, rather, not the west side. You run into more katydids, and they are pretty loud and nice to hear at night. I have to say, man, you can't even hear anything else.
Yeah, it's so loud, huh?
Oh yeah.
Well, did you see anything neat camping or do anything neat?
No, we hung out by the little stream there. And, you know, fire and stuff.
Catch a fish?
No, it's a pretty small stream.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no fish in that one. So.
Gotcha. Well, I saw a few more bears this weekend, but one climbed up into an apple tree that I maintain, and I then chased him out. Because yep. I could just imagine all the broken branches I'd have to deal with, and
yeah.
I go back to prune it in March.
Yeah. Yeah, those trees are on the edge of the big woods, so.
Yeah, they're doomed, but, you know, we do a pretty good job maintaining them over the years.
Yeah.
We do it in a way where they're not a lot of small, dainty branches left for them to break. It's pretty much the main scaffold branches, the only thing left of the tree.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of how we've been forced to prune them over the years, because there's continual breakage.
They do a lot of damage. Some people have a lot of damage on their apple trees, and more so anymore, it seems. Yeah. But. Well, tonight's topic is actually the tent caterpillar pests and lookalikes. So you've probably seen a lot of tent caterpillars out there. I don't know if you're driving around. Not all of them are tent caterpillars per se, but we'll get into that. There's some lookalikes, but I was over in Narrowsburg, and a lot of the shagbark hickories seemed like they had a lot of the caterpillar damage.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And anywhere around here in Delaware County, you find it some type of tent in a cherry tree this time of year.
Yeah. So, but that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And we've been getting a lot of questions about those recently, so I figured might as well do a show on them.
Sure.
You know? And we're really going to stick to about three. So there's the forest tent caterpillar, the eastern tent caterpillar, and the gypsy moth. So those are known as tent caterpillars. And then there's the fall webworm, which is a lookalike. So we'll talk about that one.
That's mostly what I think we're seeing right now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, damage to trees. All three of these guys, these caterpillars, they're in the Lepidoptera. Is that the family? I can't remember if that's a family or order. But Lepidoptera caterpillars, like things that become butterflies and moths. Okay. All three eat leaves in the spring. So we're pretty much in the fall right now, so spring is past. Eastern tent caterpillars are not normally a pest of forests, but these guys stick to urban areas or where there's like ornamental fruit trees, crab apples, cherry, stuff like that.
So mostly urban?
Yeah, mostly. Well, you know, because people plant.
Right.
Ornamental fruit trees. So that's why they say urban areas, but any fruit tree pretty much. Rosaceae family, you know, cherry, apple.
Okay.
Stuff like that. Have you seen any of those this spring? I don't remember. I think I may have seen a couple, but not too much.
I don't think so. I can't remember specifically.
Yeah. Tent caterpillars stick mainly to deciduous trees and completely strip them. They can completely strip them. And sometimes this can last 2 to 3 years. And if a tree's healthy, it can take it. You know, defoliation can occur. Remember when we had the forest tent caterpillar damage back in, well, Delaware County experienced it like 2007, 2008, 2009.
It was awful.
It was really bad. Ulster County was more 2005, 2006 in the higher elevations. Yeah, it was so stripped that there was understory plants starting to grow in the forest preserve. So that was pretty unusual.
They would gather on maple trees and ash trees in huge, huge masses, and enough where I would go out with a shovel and smash them. It's gross.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. So, but, you know, if a tree's weakened and it's unhealthy, it, you know, 2 to 3 years of defoliation will kill it. So, and we have a lot of those. Some people refer to them as worm-killed areas. It's like sugar maple, especially on high elevation areas, like on top of ridges and mountains. Those will be hit the worst. Really, I think it's because sugar maple, it's not very calcium rich on top of our mountains. And the better sites are on the sides for sugar maple. So, yeah, they're already kind of weakened.
Yeah, you can see the legacy of that infestation in 2006, 7, 8, even today.
Yeah.
At a distance in the valleys, you can see, you know, the holes in the ridge line at the top of the ridge. I notice it especially in, like, Stamford area. There's, when you're traveling on Route 10, you look on the south side of the road, you can see it on that ridge pretty good.
Yeah.
But walking on top of the ridges, it's pretty spotty. You still see the snags, which is just the dead standing pole left of the trees that were killed. And it might be carpeted with blackberry or fern, depending on what moved in. Yeah. And that's all legacy from that three-year event.
Absolutely. There's one area like that in Bovina, Roxborough, a lot of areas like that, especially if they were high-graded before. Mm. So what high-graded means, like, someone will cut it, say, in the 1980s or 90s or whatever. It doesn't matter. It still happens. Take the best quality trees out, and now the weakest ones are standing. Then the caterpillar comes along, finishes those off, and that's when you get a lot of blackberry growing.
Yeah.
Which isn't necessarily bad. It's good for wildlife, but, you know, not if you're growing timber. So.
Yeah, I did some cutting this summer for this lady. This is just kind of side stuff. She lives in Walton at an elevation that was exactly at the line of where must be the soil somehow changed a little bit. And everything uphill of the house was dead and dying. And it was came back beech, black birch, and hay-scented fern. Yeah. And everything downhill of the house, the sugar maple looks just fine. So I was doing a lot of cutting uphill of the house to retreat back some of that encroaching black birch that really just wanted to take over her yard after that.
Yeah, absolutely. I can think of one area coming over New Kingston Mountain. Some areas like that. I feel like there might be some areas like that you're talking about, you know. Yeah. So, you know, they'll usually refoliate in July, trees that are stripped. And it takes a lot of energy, though. You know, sycamore, that'll happen. Sometimes if we get a really wet spring, they'll be anthracnose or some kind of leaf disease, and sycamore will drop its leaves, but it'll completely refoliate in July. It does stress the tree out, though. But sycamore, they're usually so healthy, you know, they're not going to die from that. I've never seen a sycamore yet die from anthracnose that I've noticed.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you have.
I saw one. I don't know what it died from, but I looked at one earlier this spring, June or so. I recommended them remove it because it just wasn't looking good. It was leaning towards the house right on the stream bank.
Huh.
But, you know, there was some severe erosion around the tree, too, from past storm events. So I think it was stress to begin with. Yeah. Maybe the anthracnose killed it off, but it just recently died. So I blame the anthracnose of last year for it.
Yeah, that tree usually does pretty well. You know, shagbark hickory is usually has no issues, but it's getting some caterpillar damage this year, but nothing harmful. We'll get into that. But if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic with Ryan and John. Tonight's topic is tent caterpillar pest and lookalikes. And up next, we'll do a comparison chart of the forest tent caterpillar, eastern tent caterpillar, and the good old gypsy moth.
She don't like her eggs all runny. She thinks crossing her legs is funny. She looks down her nose at money. She gets it on like the Easter Bunny. She's my baby, I'm her honey. I'm never gonna let her go.
He ain't got laid in a month of Sundays. Caught him once and he was sniffing my undies. He ain't too sharp, but he gets things done. Drinks his beer like it's oxygen. He's my baby, and I'm his honey. Never gonna let him go.
In spite of ourselves, we'll end up sitting on a rainbow. Against all odds, honey, we're the big door prize. We're gonna spike our noses right off of our faces. There won't be nothing but big old hearts dancing in our eyes. She thinks all my jokes are corny. Convict movies make her horny. She likes ketchup on her scrambled eggs. Swears like a sailor when she shaves her legs. She takes a licking and keeps on ticking. I'm never gonna let her go.
He's got more balls than a big brass monkey. He's a whacked out weirdo and a love bug junkie. Sly as a fox, crazy as a loon. Payday comes and he's a howling at the moon. He's my never gonna let him go.
In spite of ourselves, we'll end up a-sitting on a rainbow. Against all odds, honey, we're the big door prize. We're gonna spike our noses right off of our faces. There won't be nothing but big old hearts dancing in our eyes. In spite of ourselves, we'll end up a-sitting on a rainbow. Against all odds, honey, we're the big door prize. We're gonna spike our noses right off of our faces. There won't be nothing but big old hearts dancing in our eyes. There won't be nothing but big old hearts dancing in our eyes. In spite of ourselves.
All right, it's John Prine.
I appreciate a little John Prine.
I'm not so sure those two like each other.
Yeah, I know. They don't have a lot of kind words.
Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. with Ryan and John. Tonight's topic is the tent caterpillar pests and lookalikes. So we're going to compare the forest tent caterpillar, the eastern tent caterpillar, and the gypsy moth right now. So we're going to do forest tent caterpillar. It's a native. It's from here. It comes every 10 or so years and obliterates trees. All right, this guy really works hard at defoliation. He's pretty good at it.
Darn the guy.
Yeah. So the eggs. If you want to know if we're going to have a bad year next year, go out there in the winter and look for the egg masses. And they'll be on the little branches. They're dark. They're compact. And they're a little they're a cylindrical mass with squared ends. Very important, John. Squared ends.
Of the egg masses.
Yeah, it's very small. Like size of an eraser.
And I'm looking in the canopy of a tree for this.
Yeah, so pick a smaller tree. Right. And we'll get into the trees it likes in a minute. But yeah, exactly. You're looking for egg masses. The only people who are going to be really interested in this for the most part are going to be maple producers. But yeah, we'll get into that. But so dark, compact, cylindrical masses, about the size of an eraser with squared ends. Okay, it's encircling the branch.
And you find this in the winter.
Yeah, they're okay. They're hibernating in there. Well, not hibernating, but they're in there.
So that makes sense. So at the Maple Conference in January,
yeah,
somebody gives a report on their prediction of the tent caterpillar next year.
Yep.
And that must be what they're doing.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're shiny, so don't be fooled. The egg masses have to be shiny.
And square.
And square, John. But if they're dull, then they're old ones. Okay.
Okay.
All right, so they don't count. Now, if you kill one of those things, you want something that makes you feel good, you just killed maybe 350 that'll defoliate your tree next year in
and
July.
Where can I? They're on the branches I'm looking?
Yeah, twigs. Twigs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Going to try this year.
Yeah, take a look, you know. You can get some binos out, but, you know, I'm not doing that.
Well, I have binos on me a lot.
Yeah, I'll be up in the tree. But, you know, I guess I could look for them. I could do that, I guess. Okay, so the larvae. The larvae is a caterpillar. A caterpillar is just a baby insect that's going to become a moth, right? A brown, dull moth. But so these caterpillars is what's really doing the impact. They're really easy to tell, though. They're dark, light blue lines down the sides. But here's the thing. They got keyhole pattern on their back. You see a keyhole pattern on the back? It's a forest tent caterpillar, man.
Okay. Keyhole, like an old skeleton key?
Yeah.
One of those. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's good. We should probably narrow that down. A lot of keys.
Yeah, there's a lot of keys out there.
Or white footprints down the back, right? They're about 2 inches long. So let's go with that again. Dark with light blue lines down the sides and a line of white footprints down the back.
All right.
This forest tent caterpillar.
Painted a picture, but I'm going to Google that.
Yeah, 2 inches long. All right, so the behavior. These guys hatch at bud break, you know, when the trees are breaking bud, in the spring. And they hang out with each other. I think that word is called gregarious, right? Is that right?
I don't remember that.
All right, well, I'm pretty sure that these guys are gregarious. All right. I don't get to use that too often.
I'll agree with you. It's fun to say.
Yeah, they hang out with each other a lot. They're really social. They feed on the buds and young leaves. And they do make slightly silken mats along the trunk and the big main branches, but you probably won't even notice them. So this one is messed up because it doesn't really make a tent. What's up with that? Why people name stuff doesn't make any sense. You know? You can't like these people.
I mean, its close cousin makes a tent.
That's right, but don't jump the gun. So forest tent caterpillar doesn't really make a tent. Makes no sense.
Yeah, but they have the silky string. You walk into them in the woods.
Okay, but it's more like Spider-Man. I mean, they come down, right, on those strands?
Yeah.
But they don't make a tent, really. Like, it's not anything you would ever notice. Like, wow, the thing's making a tent.
That's true.
So what the heck? The other caterpillars, which we'll get into, make tents. Well, except for the gypsy moth. But that's whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. But the gypsy moth's not called tent caterpillar.
So they're renaming, the taxonomy. They're renaming things all the time.
I don't like these people, whoever they are.
You should call them and say, hey, the next time you're going to rename, which will probably be the next 5 years, because it happens all the time, it seems, just say, hey.
It's like mountain ash. It's not even in the ash.
Not even in the ash.
It's like red cedar, which isn't a cedar. It's a juniper, So it wastes a lot of time. Don't get me started on ironwood. All right, so pupa. That's when they're in a cocoon, right? So now they're in the cocoon's pale yellow silk and folded leaves or protected areas, right? I'm not even going to talk about the pupa because you probably won't even notice it, really. But then there's the adult moth. These things aren't very noticeable either. Not for me. They're just brown. Okay, brown like what you would expect a moth to look like. So the thing is, the caterpillars, forest tent caterpillars, they're attracted to white. So that's where you've probably seen them. Like if you have white siding, you're screwed because they're going to be like really gathered on there.
And they're brown color?
So no, I'm going back to the caterpillars now.
Oh, gotcha.
I mean, the caterpillars are pretty disgusting in certain areas. They just so gathered up with each other and defoliating everything. And you hear they're defecating or whatever, the little seeds coming out as they're eating the leaves or, spitting something out. So it's noticeable. It was really bad. But I think we're due for these guys any year now.
Yeah, well, the last one was 2006 in a 10-year cycle.
15 years, man.
Past due.
Yeah.
See what happens next year.
Yeah, we'll see. So, trees. What trees is this thing like? Primarily, and this is why it's so big in the Catskill Mountains, is it loves sugar maple.
Yeah. And we have a lot of sugar maple.
We have a ton of sugar maple. In fact, we have the best quality sugar maple, I would say, in the world. And I'm not just saying that because, we're in the Catskills. It's true. We have the most in the world. So, after that, though, it'll dine on aspen, cherry, oaks, birch, ash, alder, elm, basswood, willow. But it will not feed, and this is weird. What is wrong with this little insect? But it won't feed on red maple. What the heck is that about?
There's, something going on chemically in that leaf. It just can't digest, huh?
Or sycamore, or conifers. Okay, the conifers make sense.
That makes sense. Total sense. But why not red maple?
Yeah, I mean, a sycamore even has a maple-like leaf. Nope. So it likes sugar maple, but not the red maple leaf. Doesn't like sycamore either. So there you go. All right. Have any questions, John, about the forest tent caterpillar?
I got no questions. I just envisioning horror stories. It's the cat. If you're thinking of what the heck are we talking about, it's the caterpillar. 10 years ago, you were walking down the sidewalk and you couldn't walk without squishing about 10 of them under your feet.
Remember in the drainage ditches?
Oh, yeah, like clogging up after water flowed down?
Disgusting.
Ugh.
Really bad.
Like I said, I would just, I don't know why, but take a shovel and just smash them on a tree, and you'd get 100 or more of them.
That's when cuckoo birds would show up in the woods.
Ah, I missed
that. And they would feed on the caterpillars, yeah. Then they die of a disease. I can't remember the name of the disease. And then we'll get into the government flies, friendly flies. That's all right. So anyway, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic. Tonight's topic is tent caterpillar pests and look-alike. So we just got talking about the forest tent caterpillar. Let's talk about the eastern tent caterpillar.
Also native.
Also native.
Okay.
So just blows your stereotype that natives can't cause impacts. Forest tent is pretty bad in the Catskills. So I'll just say that. It can be devastating, especially if you're a maple producer.
Now, do you think that's because the food source is just so abundant that gives them the opportunity to boost their numbers to high infestations. Because you don't really hear about it in Western New York. I know people from Western New York. They're like, they never talk about this.
No.
Not well.
I don't know what those people talk about up there, though.
Yeah, you know, I guess I don't know any too many forest-minded people out there, but I don't know. I talk to enough people where you don't hear things like worm kill, and it's a Catskills thing.
I don't really leave the Catskills anymore, so there is that.
Oh, okay. Well.
Yeah, that's true. You know? I used to, you know, be around Syracuse, but I think, you know, I remember it working its way. I seem to remember, I could be wrong, that when I was a ranger in the Catskills 2005 and 4, that it was working its way, you know, from different areas. They had it in Western New York or something, but maybe I'm making that up.
I never heard about it in forestry school at Paul Smith's. You know, I was in the wildlife program, but still, I would have heard about it if it was taught.
I don't know. I mean, you know, Paul Smith's, it's like, what do you expect?
There's not a lot of sugar maple at Paul Smith's.
I don't know. Spruce and muskrat land.
Right.
All right, so Eastern tent caterpillar. All right, it's not much different than the forest tent caterpillar, but there's some key differences. And once you hear this, you're never going to forget it. They're easy to identify. But the eggs are extremely similar to forest tent caterpillar. They're small little egg masses, size of an eraser, on twigs. Shiny means they're fresh, they're new, and they're going to become devastating caterpillars next year. But they have tapered ends and not squared ends.
So cylindrical.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. And if you kill one, you could kill 350 caterpillars. July, June. So there you go. Larvae. They are dark, just like the forest tent caterpillar, but they have white lines down the back with a light blue and black spots on the sides. And it's that white line, though, that sticks out to me.
And no keyholes.
No keyholes. White line. Long one. Eastern tent caterpillar. 2 inches long. Behavior. They hatch at bud break in the spring. But the tents are mostly in fruit trees, but I shouldn't say that yet. But they're in the crotches. This is going to be important later on, John, to differentiate between another guy that's out there. If it's in the crotch of a tree, it's the eastern tent caterpillar.
Okay.
Fruit trees. So they're not usually as bad, but if you have fruit trees and you care about them, they can be.
Right.
You know? Especially because there's everything else attacking fruit trees.
So. Right.
Right?
Yeah, no, it's you hear people saying they burnt the tent out of the tree.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. First of all, don't do that. You're going to harm the tree.
Yeah.
But people do that, and that's what we're talking about, eastern tent caterpillar.
Yeah, so it's in the crotch of the tree, and here's the thing. This is how you know it's an eastern tent caterpillar. It leaves the tent to feed. So if you see this guy, like, leaving its home to go feed, probably an eastern tent caterpillar. If it stays in the tent and feeds, something else. We'll talk about that next. What else? Yeah, so when it's a pupa, solitary cocoon, white silk with yellow powder, pretty forgettable for me anyway. Adult moth is reddish brown. I mean, I can't remember this stuff. They look like a brown moth to me, you know? Yeah. Some people can, I'm sure. The trees. Okay, what trees is it like? Cherry, apple, crab apple, fruit trees, ash, birch, maple, oak, poplar, and sometimes, we don't have this around here, pecan, hawthorn, beech, willow. However, it's mostly cherry, apple, crab apple, rosaceae family.
Yeah, never seen it in hawthorn. Never seen it in beech.
Yeah, me neither. I never noticed it anyway.
Right.
I mean, beech usually die anyway from beech bark disease. So if you're just tuning in, listen to From the Forest every Wednesday. From 6 to 7 p.m. Tonight's topic is tent caterpillar pest and lookalikes. Next, we'll talk about the gypser, good old gypsy moth.
An old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw, a-plowing through the ragged skies, and up a cloudy draw. Yippee-yi-yay, yippee-yi-oh,
ghost heard in the sky. Their brands were still on fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky, for he saw the riders coming hard. And he heard their mournful cry. Ghost riders in the sky. Their faces gaunt, their eyes were blurred, and shirts all soaked with sweat. They're riding hard to catch that herd, but they ain't caught 'em yet. Cause they've got to ride forever on that range up in the sky. On horses snorting fire as they ride on, hear their cry. Yibbe-i-o, yibbe-i-o.
Ghost riders in the sky.
As the riders loped on by him, he heard one call his name. If you want to save your soul from hell, riding on our reins, then cowboy, change your ways today, or with us you will ride, a-trying to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies.
Saddle up, for we ride. It's an awesome song.
Yeah, I've never heard that version.
There's only like 10 million versions of this song. Holy cow. I can't remember what that guy's name is. I feel like it's Vaughn something. But I don't know. I feel like I need to play that song when I just drive around.
You know? Make you feel powerful?
Yeah, put your thumb out, you know? Thumbs up.
All right.
You know? All right, so if you're just tuning in, you listen to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. with Ryan and John. Tonight's topic is tent caterpillar pests and lookalikes. So we talked about, we compared the forest tent caterpillar and the eastern tent caterpillar. And up next is the gypsy moth, a non-native. Brought here in 1869. I think it was brought in for that silken industry, wasn't it, in Massachusetts?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You know, the famous picture with a bunch of guys standing on scaffolds and branches in Massachusetts trying to pick them out because they made a mistake, realized that they brought in something that was killing their prized oak trees.
Right.
Yeah. So these guys are pretty naturalized now. So they're on the same kind of wavelength as the forest tent caterpillar, I would say, in damage. So the eggs are buff-colored or lighter fuzzy patches. So they're nothing like an egg mass that's on the twig. They're these buff-colored, lighter fuzzy patches on the tree trunk. Okay? You might see them on something else, though. You might see them in firewood, on large branches, in sheltered areas, lawn furniture.
So they can be anywhere.
Yeah. There's 600 to 700 eggs in one of those things. So if you can kill one... All right.
You did all right.
The larvae, which is the caterpillar, right? Because this is going to become a moth. Five pairs are really easy to identify. Five pairs of raised blue spots, followed by six pairs of red spots, 2 inches long. So, blue spots, then red spots. Boom. Hairy black, caterpillar, red spots, blue spots, gypsy moth. Done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you see any this year?
I think I saw one somewhere, but not really.
I didn't notice any.
Yeah. Okay, behavior. Young larvae eat holes in the leaves, and I think I saw this last year, actually, on top of German Hollow, Pack Attack, and Mountain. There was some holes, but I can't remember, and that could have been the larvae, which I wouldn't have known unless I read this. The larvae of the gypsy moth. Now, when you get a real infestation of adults, or rather, older larvae, then they'll just defoliate the whole tree, And then you'll be like, okay, there's something going on there.
If anybody took a drive out the Massachusetts Turnpike in 2017?
I did.
18? Yes. Yeah. That's all you saw was defoliation.
Yep.
There was not a tree in sight.
Yeah.
Through the Berkshires and all the way across pretty much most of the way to Boston.
Yeah.
It was bad.
It was. You could hear them munching around. I was in Eastern Mass near Gloucester. And, yeah, the ridgetops were especially bad. So when populations are low, they feed at night. The heck. But when they're high, they feed during the day. So, and I can't even remember this because I was walking at night in Massachusetts, and I could hear them. So I agree with that because that's – I mean, I couldn't see them, obviously.
Well, so why is that? What –
probably
what advantage do they have at night?
Maybe birds, you know, bird predators that feed during the day, like maybe that cuckoo bird. I don't know.
I guess that makes
sense.
I'm
not sure.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, I guess there's power in numbers when there's a lot of them. They're like, we need food and we don't care, you know, that predator will eat something else maybe, you know?
Yep.
The other thousands of them. So the pupa is a hard brown case pointed at one end in a sheltered place. And the adult moth is a they actually do differentiate between females and males. The other ones not really. The females do not fly and are white with brown markings, and the males are brownish and do fly. So there you go, John. Trees. This thing, gypsy moth, mainly prefers oak. All right, but if it gets hungry, it's gonna eat just about anything, including, unlike the other two, conifers, which I did not know.
Wow.
So it also eat apple, sweet gum, which we don't have, speckled alder, which is more north, basswood, gray and white birch, poplar, which could mean, well, it's a meaningless term, really. I mean, it could mean a bunch of trees. It could mean yellow poplar. It could mean
hybrid poplar.
Eastern cottonwood, you know, aspen. A lot of people call different trees poplar.
Yeah, I got in that discussion with a CFA member today.
Yeah?
Yep. He was... wanted to manage for rough grouse, and said he used to do it in Wisconsin, but he doesn't have the aspen trees here. He's only got poplar. I said, you're mistaken, sir. you have aspen here.
I beg to differ,
sir.
It's
the same thing. From what you just described, it's the same tree.
Well, was he happy?
He was still a little reserved about cutting them.
Skeptical.
I told him, why don't we schedule a consultation? I'll come out and we can talk face-to-face and understand what we're looking at.
Yeah, it makes sense. Someone would be. I mean, it's counterintuitive to cut something and get more of it, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, it'll also feed on black walnut, catalpa, locust, American holly, and shrubs such as mountain laurel. Even deer won't eat mountain laurel.
Yeah, that's a thick, leathery leaf.
Yeah. Rhododendrons, arborvitae. Okay, I can see the arborvitae. I mean, that's pretty soft. Older ones will eat conifers, hemlock, spruce, pine. And when dense, they will even feed on almost anything.
Wow.
Yeah. Gypsy. Gypsy moth. It's kind of a cool name.
Why do they get the name Gypsy Moth?
I have no idea. I didn't see that one.
Darn.
So, yeah. All right. Lookalikes. All right. The lookalikes. Fall webworm, which is really why we did this show tonight. That's what you're seeing right now is the fall webworm.
Yep.
Which is also in a caterpillar, in a Lepidoptera. I can't remember if it's the family or order. It's embarrassing. It differs by the tents from the eastern tent caterpillar. It always gets confused with that. If you see the tent at the end of the branch, it might be a fall webworm. Also, they feed inside the tent. They're disgusting. For some reason, they gross me out. I mean, it's like they're in there in that tent, and it's like, I don't know. It's gross in there, man, because all their defecation's inside the tent with them.
Right, right.
They're a weird insect.
Okay.
You know, at least the eastern tent has the wherewithal to leave its tent and feed. You know what I mean? This thing's doing everything in there.
Gotcha. Okay?
So that's the fall webworm. The good thing about the fall webworm is that feeding this time of year doesn't really damage trees that much because it's the fall. We're entering fall. The trees are already done most of their photosynthesis. The eastern tent caterpillar, that's a springtime thing, and the tree has to refoliate. So that stresses them out a little more than the fall.
Sure, it takes a ton of energy. Yeah, so right now you're seeing it mostly in cherry trees. I noticed them first in like southern Delaware County first, but now it's pretty much anywhere you go. Anywhere I go, anyway, I've seen all the cherry trees have it. And if there's big stands of it, then in the morning dew, it looks like the whole mountainside's shimmering because the dew is shining off the webs.
Yeah, absolutely. So they are a caterpillar, though. And this is going to be important for what's up next. Oh. Caterpillars, you can treat them all the same if you want to kill them. They're pretty. There's a fabulous product out there that's organic and only kills caterpillars. But just to confuse people, there's a thing called a sawfly.
Oh, no.
Which is not in Lepidoptera order. It's in Hymenoptera. A lot of people probably don't realize this. I didn't realize this until, studying insects a little bit. Their sawflies look just like caterpillars, except for they don't become moths or butterflies. They become, what do they become? Bees, wasps, and ants. Ants. Yeah, okay, I don't know about the ants, but bees and wasps, okay? So they're in the order Hymenoptera. And basically they look just like a caterpillar, except for they're greasy-looking and slug-like. They're disgusting.
Slug-like, as in how they move or how they leave a trail?
Look,
what do you mean?
You know, I don't know. They look slug-like, man. The larvae.
You know, because the way it is.
Yeah, they're short and stubby-looking. And they have legs on every segment of the abdomen. This is a key difference. Every segment of the abdomen has a leg. Unlike caterpillars, there'll be little segments on their abdomen that are legless. This is important. Then, caterpillars have hair on each one of those legs. And sawflies don't.
Okay.
Sawflies, I have them on my apple trees right now. And they will, especially pear, it seems. They really like pear. There's a few on apple, but the pear trees usually get hammered. And they'll be at the very tips or whatever, feeding like crazy, totally defoliated. Before I knew anything, I was like, oh, I'll put BT on it, which is Bacillus thuringiensis. It's Thuricide is its commercial name, product name, or commercial name. And if you spray BT on this thing, that's only meant for Lepidoptera order or caterpillars. It won't kill them. So for sawflies, you got to spray something else like spinosad, I think, or if you want to go less toxic, spinosad, you know, or you could probably, I have to look at the label, but, you know, soap, insecticidal soap, or maybe kaolin clay or something like that.
So the BT, that's a bacteria-based thing going on?
I think it's microbial, naturally occurring, Bacillus thuringiensis. Okay. And what happens is it paralyzes the caterpillars. And then they die of starvation. It only kills insects that become butterflies or moths. So the good thing is it doesn't kill your beneficials, like your predators that might kill some other things like aphids or whatever. You want those predators on your tree or shrub to be around and kill aphids and other pests. So if you put some kind of contact insecticide that kills everything, well, now everything's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And now you could get an outbreak of a pest. So that's why this BT is kind of good in that way, because it doesn't kill the beneficials. However, it does kill butterflies. So, you know, if something like a monarch butterfly, which is like pretty much everyone knows because it's beautiful as hell, it's going to kill it, you know, if it comes in contact with it.
Okay.
But they're usually not on trees that much, sometimes.
No, they're on milkweed, and they're in the fall. So if you're spraying BT, it's probably for a tent caterpillar, and you're going to be spraying that in the spring.
Yeah. Yeah, and this only works BT when they're about an inch long. So you got to get them when they first come out, the caterpillar or the larvae.
Okay.
So if you spray BT again on sawfly, it's not going to work. You got to spray something else, and that's important. So right now you might be seeing sawfly damage, and if you have fruit tree, if you have a tree that's well established, it's probably not going to harm it. But if it's a fruit tree, like I said, a lot of things attack them. Sometimes I just knock them off my hand. I don't need to do anything. You know, put them in some detergent, kill them, make sure they die. Or squish them or whatever. And usually, right now, I didn't have that many on my trees. I literally went around while mowing the lawn, stopped the mower, knock them off. But some years, it's like, okay, if there's enough where I feel like it warrants, then I'll go back, get the backpack sprayer, and give them hell. So.
Gotcha.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. with Ryan and John. Tonight's topic is tent caterpillar pests and lookalikes. And we've been talking about the forest tent caterpillar, the eastern tent caterpillar, the fall webworm, and the sawfly, which is the order Hymenoptera, which becomes a wasp or a bee, unlike the Lepidoptera order, which becomes caterpillars, which become we call moths and butterflies. But up next, we're going to talk about are they harmful to touch, caterpillars? We already went into control, but we could glance over that and go into some herbicides and potential management.
Stars fall silent from your eyes. All the sights that I have seen. I can't believe that I believed. I wish that you could see. There's a new planet in the solar system. There's nothing up my sleeve. I'm pushing an elephant up the stairs. I'm tossing up punchlines that were never there. Over my shoulder a piano falls, crashing to the ground. In all this talk of time, talk is fine. We'll be right back.
All right. This is From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic with Ryan and John. Tonight's topic is tent caterpillar pest and lookalikes. That was REM. A strange band, man. Made some good songs, though.
Yeah.
I like them.
I'm a fan.
Yeah. So, harmful to humans? Not really. The gypsy moth, apparently, if you touch it, it can give you a rash. There's another tent cat or hairy caterpillar called the, what is it called? It's white and hairy.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't know the name. I've never heard the name before.
Oh, man, I just forgot it. Just gone.
I know somebody that gets a really bad reaction to that thing.
I've touched it, and I did get a reaction. Not bad, but it itched.
Yeah, no, I get it, too. It's a little red and itchy, bumps up. But this guy, he breaks out.
Tiger? No. Is
it? I don't know.
Man, I can't remember.
Can't be helpful.
Well, that one. Tussock moth.
Ah.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Tussock moth. So, and probably isn't a Lepidoptera. But, yeah, you'll see these white tussock moths. And if you touch them, yeah, some people will get itchy. And I definitely experienced that. But for the most part, no. What I found in researching is that if you ingest an eastern tent caterpillar, a horse does, it can cause a mare to miscarriage. That's what research showed.
How did they find that out?
I have no idea, man. But it has not been documented to humans, and I would say, who the hell is eating eastern tent caterpillars?
Right, most people aren't doing that. So.
Jesus Christ. So control. You can either do nothing, and most of the time, healthy trees can take defoliation. Natural predators will take care of it. Birds, rodents, parasites, diseases, temperature fluctuations. You can manually remove egg masses by hand, remember, because we went over what they look like. If they're really bad, like the forest tent caterpillar in the Catskills, you can put sticky tree wraps to catch moving larvae. Because remember, they're gregarious, and they hang out with each other, and they'll get stuck in there.
Mm-hmm.
So you do not leave larvae on the ground. Put them in detergent if you happen to manually pull them off with your hands. Don't burn the tents in the branches because, you know, you'll scald the cambium layer. You'll probably kill the branch.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility.
So I wouldn't do that. Herbicide, microbial, biological. That's called BT. Bacillus thuringiensis is a living organism that must be ingested. It causes paralysis and starvation to only caterpillars, not sawflies. That's important because they look alike. It can only be used while the caterpillars are 1 inch or less, no other stage. Harmless to plants, people, animals, except butterflies, of course.
Not good.
Right. Or you can use chemical contact poison, and that'll impact everyone. Right, anything that it touches will probably kill it. If it's a restricted chemical, then it has to be done by a DEC certified pesticide applicator. Anything commercial has to be done, meaning if you're paying someone, it has to be done by a commercial pesticide applicator, even if it's general use, unrestricted.
Right, even if it's a can of wasp spray.
Yeah, even if you're paying someone to squirt vinegar, legally you're supposed to have a DEC pesticide applicator.
Yep.
All right. Management. You want to avoid harvesting timber in heavily defoliated areas. And this is because trees are stressed out. I mean, cutting does stress trees out, even ones next to them and stuff, more light, fluctuations. Plants don't like, huge amounts of differences at one time. Makes sense.
Right. So it could change wind and light and water on the forest floor and all that.
Yeah. There is a 10-year cycle or so, 10 to 15-year cycle, lasting 2 to 3 years with a forest tent caterpillar damage. And spraying, I remember in 2007, there was a company from Lowville that was airily spraying BT over forest tent caterpillar damage maple producers' lands. So.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty neat. But in most cases, no one's going to do that. And then there's the friendly fly. Or government fly.
I've never heard of government fly until you talked about it.
Yeah. No?
No. So who do you talk to?
Well, when I used to work for D.C., people would come up to us, especially when during those 2004, 2005, when it was really bad in Ulster County. And I'd be on Giant Ledge or Sly Mountain. People would be like, oh, these government flies, D.C.'s releasing these. the D.C. is just not that organized or to do something like that. As much as I like to give credit for things, I don't. First of all, I never saw that, witnessed it, heard of it within the D.C. Here's the thing about the government or the friendly fly is that it's native. Sarcophaga aldrichi. I'm not even going to attempt to say that. It's an important natural enemy of the forest tent caterpillar, and it resembles a housefly. Same thing, you know. See around your house. They're a flesh fly.
But they're bigger. They're more annoying.
Yeah.
You hear them more. They land on you. You feel them.
Right. They're in my house a lot. So, family of flies known as flesh flies, because they feed on the flesh of other insects and animals. And these things end up killing forest ant caterpillars. So when the forest ant caterpillar numbers go up, a year or two later, bam, the friendly fly's numbers go up. So they attack and kill cocoons of forest ant caterpillars. Friendly flies that you see now will affect the caterpillar populations for the next year. If you had a lot of friendly flies last year, you will probably have fewer caterpillars this year. So, and as far as anyone knows, they don't release them, but you know, just, I don't know. Well, I'd get asked that all the time when I worked for the D.C.
Rumors are fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fun to say government flies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. But that's all the time we have.
Wow. Flew by.
On From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. And tonight's topic was the tent caterpillar pest and lookalikes. And if you're seeing webs out there in trees, it's probably fall webworm. And it's usually not too bad this time of year. And see you next week.
See ya.
Oh, the neon lights were flashing and the icy wind did blow. The water seeped into his shoes and the drizzle turned to snow. His eyes were red, his hopes were dead, and the wine was running low. And the old man came home from the forest. His tears fell on the sidewalk as he stumbled in the street. A dozen faces stopped to stare, but no one stopped to speak. For his castle was a hallway, and the bottle was his friend. And the old man stumbled in from the forest. Up a dark and dingy staircase, the old man made his way. His ragged coat around him as upon his cot he lay. And he wondered how it happened that he'd ended up this way. Getting lost like a fool in the forest. And as he lay there sleeping, did appear. Upon his mantle shining the face of one so dear, who'd loved him in the springtime of a long forgotten year, when the wildflowers did bloom in the forest. She touched his grizzled fingers and she called him by his name. And then he heard the joyful sound of children at their games. In an old house on a hillside in some forgotten town.